broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
You are in the clubhouse, the spacious studios in Honolulu overlooking Diamond Head. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a scorcher, about 88 degrees. Fortunately, we have these fabulous winds blowing to cool us off and a little overnight rain to make the golf course just absolutely perfect. We've got a big show, so we need to get right to it. Ron Cyrak, senior writer for Golf Digest, author of Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, The Game Before the Game, and Play Your Best Golf Now, all available at Amazon.com. He's up first. He's at Chambers Bay. Let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Also by Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
There's an 8:50 at 10 o'clock and an 11:10 if you'd like to play at Poipu Bay. And men's apparel for Father's Day sale on special, 30% off men's apparel through Sunday. Plus, they've got fabulous sales, like 30% off women's and men's shoes in the pro shop. So in case, ladies, you're shopping for dad, you might find something for yourself. All right. I'm watching Golf Channel this morning, before Fox starts broadcasting the U.S. Open. And all of a sudden, golf icon and career Grand Slam winning Gary Player comes on, and he launches into what only can be called the harshest criticism of Chambers Bay and the USGA deciding to play at Chambers Bay that I've heard. And let's talk with Ron Cyrak. He's the senior writer for Golf Digest, and he's at Chambers Bay. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, did you happen to catch Gary Player this morning?
Yeah, I did. And in fact, I spoke with him earlier in the week on Wednesday. You know, this is the 50th anniversary of him completing the career Grand Slam at the 1965 U.S. Open. And so he's been around here all week. And I spoke with him early in the week and got sort of a preview of what he said today, because he's been talking about equipment and the golf ball and the clubs and how that's changed golf course architecture for quite a while now. And this tournament this week has given him an opportunity to amplify those thoughts.
Boy, did he amplify. He said, I'm in beautiful Washington State. This, however, is the most unpleasant golf tournament I've experienced in my entire lifetime. I went, wow, let's just, you know, lay it on the line. Nice to hear a refreshing, I feel exactly this way, and I'm going to tell you. Tell us what you think of this. Let's start with the golf course, since that's pretty much been the center of attention.
Well, I'll tell you, it's different. Let's put it that way. It is a very, very different golf course. If the U.S. Open does not come back to Chambers Bay, though, I think it'll have less to do with the playability of the golf course and more to do with the maneuverability of the golf course. It's a bad course for the media. It's a bad course for spectators. You can't get around. There are some holes that you just can't get to at all. So people are able to see very, very little golf if they're actually on site. It televises well, and there's this feeling that this has sort of been a made-for-TV event and really not that enjoyable of experience for people who are actually on property. Are there a lot of gimmicks to this golf course? Absolutely. Are those gimmicks a response to what equipment and the fact that equipment's gotten so much better has done to the game? Possibly. But right now you have to look at the top of the leaderboard: Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson. It's produced a pretty good top of the leaderboard. That said, about 12 of the next 15 guys on that leaderboard are, you know, this could have Paul Laurie written all over, you know, as the winner.
And seeing Tony Finau, who played for Turtle Bay here in Hawaii, he lived in Laie on Oahu for years. Seeing him at the top there, I went, wow, check out Tony. I'm wondering sometimes, you know, let's go to the greens. I'm fascinated because when I saw them in August, I went, these are the greens are going to use for the U.S. Open? Are they really going to grow in? I asked the USGA man who was next to me, really? These are going to be okay? But then I realized that they're not all fescue. They've got poa, and they grow at different, poa, doesn't it, like, flower during the day while the fescue kind of withers and dies?
Yeah, you know, first off, the greens aren't as bad as they look on TV.
Oh.
We're very used to seeing lush green stuff, and these are browner. These got some colors to them that I'm not even sure I can describe, but they do. And I also thought yesterday afternoon, they putted smoother than they did on Thursday afternoon. I don't know why that is, but yeah, any greens that have poa, as you get deeper into the day and the little flowers start to bud out there, you're going to get a lot of bouncy putts. There's been a lot of complaints about the greens, but I will say that I do think a big part of it is a perception problem. This course just looks very differently than fans are used to seeing.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's stunning. I walking it is challenging. It demands the physical part of your game. It demands your mental game because you can strike a ball beautifully and have an awful bounce, but even worse than in the UK on a links course because of the hilly terrain. But then again, if you're just, as I think Gary Player mentioned, that if you just miss by a yard, you're penalized 50 yards.
Yeah, it's a very punishing golf course that way. If you get off the beaten path, it'll beat you up. And what makes it, too, a little bit controversial is it's a British-style golf course with American-style greens. There are more false fronts, multiple tiers, and you don't really see that. The great links courses in Britain, the greens are relatively flat or have very subtle elevation changes in them. These greens are much more difficult to get the ball close to.
Before I finish on greens, I wanted to ask one more question about it. When I was there, I was told everything was fescue. No one mentioned poa. Did they put the poa to fill in where the fescue wasn't grabbing? Because that was the problem when I was there.
Yeah, part of it is, I think that some of it is, it's just a natural grass that's here. Yes, I was also told the same thing you were, that this was just a fescue-only golf course. And it is. I mean, one of the bizarre things about this golf course is, you can't really tell when you're on the green or not, because everything's the same grass. They've actually had to dot the perimeters of the green so that the players would know where they can mark their ball and where they can't mark their ball.
It's amazing. Dotting the green. This is the outline here, right here.
Yeah.
Now, it's on television for the first time on Fox. And you wrote fabulous articles. The business of golf has been, you brought that to the forefront. It's one of your fortes in writing. And Ron Syrak is the senior writer for Golf Digest, award-winning. He's brought women's golf to the forefront, but also the business of golf. Now, what are your, you talked about here they're taking this USGA contract, huge money paid to the USGA to do all USGA events. This is their first one, the flagship U.S. Open. How do you think they're doing?
Well, let's put it this way. They'll get better, I think that Fox could not have a more demanding venue to be doing their debut on. There's never been a U.S. Open here, and it's a very different kind of golf course. It's very hard to maneuver out there to get around, for them to move their camera crews around. And I think from some of the people I've seen on air, they've got some people who clearly know a lot about sports, but not necessarily a lot about golf. And that's made some awkward questions on their part. I think they've had some good bells and whistles. I think some of the graphics they've done showing full elevation changes and contours and things like that have been good. I just think this was a very, very, very demanding place for them to make their debut.
They did have enough time to prepare for it, though. It's not like it was But I suppose a year, they had a year.
They had a year and a half, really. I mean, yeah, the contract, it was announced in August of 2013 that they had gotten the USGA contract. You know, look, I talked to Joe Buck, who's the lead announcer, about it. He's done Super Bowls. He's done World Series. And one of the things he's realizing is what those of us around the game have known for a long time. Golf's a really hard sport to televise. It's the only game that doesn't happen right in front of you. If Joe Buck's doing a Super Bowl or a World Series, he's just got to look out a window and there's the game sitting in front of him. That doesn't happen in golf. You got to go out and find golf. And, you know, a lot of times you're sitting in that booth, you've got your back to the action, looking at five TV monitors with a producer in your ear, you know, and that's very different experience than just watching a football game and telling people what's going on.
Yeah, I would just like them to, you know, small things like identify who's talking to me. Because even though I may know, there are a lot of people who don't know these new people. And there's no, who is that? Who's the commentator? And it's just, just small things like that would make it so much. And then abruptly, Fox stops. And there's no post game. It's like, hello, you can't just leave me hanging. So what if the tournament's over? You're supposed to do is like post game chat, but then I got to go to Golf Channel.
we went to some sort of a truck race or something like that.
Yes.
After it was over yesterday. Yes, exactly. And the other thing that I find them doing is just beating me up with a lot of meaningless information. Somebody will come on the screen and Jason Day has got five top 10 finishes this year and he's number 72 in the world ranking. Like, I don't really need to know all that. None of that's relevant to what's going on right now. They shouldn't feel the need to tell you everything they know every time they open their mouth.
Yeah,
And that's sort of what they're doing right now. But again, I think they'll get better in time over that. Greg Norman's been better than I thought he was going to be. I didn't think that he, and I still think this, he won't be willing to be as controversial as Johnny Miller. You know, Johnny Miller always spoke his mind. You know, I wonder what Johnny Miller would be saying about this golf course if he was here. And Greg's not going to be willing to do that. But he's been informative and better than I thought he was going to be.
Excellent, excellent. And so your experience, Jason Day is playing, I understand, after that vertigo attack?
He is playing today, yeah, and we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what kind of condition he's in.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's only three shots off the lead. That's a heck of a story right there.
It certainly is. And we've got a wonderful leaderboard with two hotheads, Jordan Spieth, and, what's his name?
Patrick Reed and Dustin Johnson are two interesting characters, but you know, to me right now, very, very selfishly, I think it'd be great for the game of golf if Jordan Spieth backed up his Masters with a U.S. Open win. It certainly would make going to the old course at St. Andrews for the British Open with the Grand Slam still possible, a very, very compelling story.
That's a hot stuff. Yeah, it's hot topic. Hot stuff. We'll just stop right there. You're awesome. Marvel Barnard is going to be with me next, you know, and she's just back from the U.S. Open, and I really enjoyed her stay there. And she's with the LPGA, PGA teaching professionals. And so I'm looking forward to hearing a woman's point of view on what the course was like and whether women could play that course. What do you think?
You know, I think it can be set up for anybody, really. You know, there's not a lot of, forced carries and things like that. I mean, it is hard. There's a lot of uphill approach shots and women by and large and us, mid-leveled, male recreational players.
Right.
If you don't hit the ball high and you don't hit it with spin, these are hard greens to get to. So, it would be a challenge that way, any golf course can be made playable for anybody if you just set it up smartly.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show, Ron.
Thanks, Daniel. My pleasure.
Ron Czyrak, and senior writer of Golf Digest and award-winning writer at that. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Marvel Barnard is the LPGA PGA Club Professional, candidate for the LPGA TNCP, that's Teaching and Club Professional National President. She's the recipient of the 2013 Nancy Lopez Golf Achievement Award, recognizing an LPGA professional who gives back to the game in the spirit of Nancy Lopez. And Marvel is the teaching professional at Haven Golf Course in Green Valley, Arizona. And she is in the clubhouse with us after getting back to Arizona from beautiful Chambers Bay. It's gorgeous, isn't it? Welcome to the show, Marvel.
Thank you, Danielle. Yeah, actually, I'm still up here. I'm here in the Northwest for another couple of weeks. So I'm missing out on all the hot weather in Arizona right now.
Yay! Yay! what was your impression of being up? Are you at the course still, or are you just in the Northwest?
I'm in the Northwest. We are renting a place here for a month. We're about 20 minutes from the parking area for the staging to head out to the course. So it's been super convenient to be here.
It's a beautiful place to stay. Gosh, I was up there in August, as we were, you know, talking quickly. and I was just so impressed with being in the environment. It's kind of what Gary Player this morning said. I'm in beautiful Washington State. And then he went on to kind of criticize, building these long, needing water courses that regular players will never enjoy because they're not good enough to play them. It was just an interesting take and good to hear Gary Player be so honest without what he felt about it, not couching anything, you know, just saying like it is. You know, what are we doing here? We're playing an English style course in the United States for the U.S. Open. This isn't the Open. This is the U.S. Open. You know, I want to know what you thought of Chambers Bay.
Well, you know, I'm coming at this from the fan experience and certainly not as a player and, you know, that caliber of player. I did see what Gary said this morning and my experience as a fan was just excellent. When you're standing at the bottom of that beautiful course and you're down near the sound and you look up, it's a very spectacular golf course. And the fans, you know, I was thinking about this morning. I've never been at a big event like this where the fans were so friendly with each other. And it's almost like the Pacific Northwest fan base has linked arms and said, isn't this cool? And so that to me was remarkable. It's tough to walk as a spectator. You are going uphill and downhill and it's sandy and dirty and, did hear a lot of comments about that from fellow fans standing in the audience there. But for my part, I was just in awe the whole time and getting to watch these great players as they go by and hit shots. And it was very fun for me.
It's absolutely my experience as well as a fan of the golf course, because I was impressed with what they did with a quarry. You know, it was an old, ugly quarry, and they turned it into a spectacular golf course. And I enjoyed it. It was difficult walking the course. It's physically challenging, just walking it. And, of course, there's no golf carts there, so that is what you do. You walk Chambers Bay. And they were talking about having this upper walk area where you would have a look over, overview, 8 holes. And I stood up there, you know, and you could have binoculars. But that's not really the way you want to watch golf, is it? You want to be right down there.
Exactly. And that, to me, is a negative. For example, when they teed off on one, we were out ahead of, you know, Tiger's group as they teed off. And so typically you would take off walking down the fairway beside the players. And in this case, it's not possible. You've just got to find your way around and try to stay out ahead. And we were on hole number 4 watching them come up. And that's one of the uphill tracks there. And some of the fans that I was standing next to were saying, this is ridiculous. They have us so far away, you can't even see them. You know, they're down over that crown. So yeah, that was a big, I think that's a definite negative as far as a gallery type course.
The gallery experience. I heard one commentator said one of the players' moms got lost and couldn't find her son anymore because I guess, you know, it's easy to make a wrong turn.
Yeah, I heard that too. And there are a couple places where you're walking along and suddenly you're at a little dead end and have to route back around. But, you know, the thing is it's packed. Every grandstand had a line to get in. All the, you know, when you look at that upper viewing area, there's wall-to-wall people. So people are making their way around and I think really enjoying it.
Oh, yes. And what you said about the fans and the people of the Pacific Northwest embracing having their U.S. Open for the first time, they're loving it.
They absolutely.
And I think they didn't believe it could actually happen. You know, it's like,
yeah,
really? We're going to have this event, a U.S. Open here in the Pacific Northwest. And I think a record number of people signed up to be volunteers immediately, and the tickets sold out immediately. So yes, it's hugely popular. And
yes. One of the rumors yesterday, we were, a friend and I were with another friend who's has a connection with someone who's selling merchandise in the merchandise tent, which that merchandise tent is huge and packed full of people. And I know that I personally contributed to the USGA coffers by how much money I spent in there. But their rumor is that they are just stunned at how well that's going. Like, a lot of things are selling out, and they were getting a way bigger response than even they expected. So
that's kind of like the Masters, you know, when you go to the, yeah, Masters and everybody's buying thousands of dollars worth of things.
Yes.
Yes. So,
they were saying yesterday that, you know, the millions that have been spent, and I'm thinking, gosh, I helped that. I helped push that over.
And that's a wonderful thing. Yeah, when I talked to the USGA gentleman who escorted me around Chambers Bay, he said, don't ask for volunteers. We've got them already. And that was back in August, completely ready to go. And tickets were just about sold out then. You could just get a day pass, you know. So very happy for the folks in the Pacific Northwest. Now, what do you think about a women's event at Chambers Bay?
You know, I think as I was listening to you and Ron finish up there and about the layout for women, and, you know, like you said, I think it can be set up for many, many players. I think for probably average women amateurs, I think it would be tough with the, you know, the bunkers and the, like you said, there's a lot of uphill shots there. I have a friend, an LPGA friend here who lives in the area, who's played it many times, and she loves it. So I do think that the LPGA Tour could certainly handle it there. But again, the gallery situation, I think, is a consideration for the future.
It is a consideration for the future. By the same token, a U.S. Open tends to bring a huge number of people where other events may not bring that same number. And maybe the course could handle something. It would be nice to see the women take on a course like that. It just, I like it. I like the course. And I wonder, though, what Gary Player, you know, his point about the recreational golfer, just the fellow who shoots 15 over par and has a miserable day and spends 5-6 hours at the golf course and never wants to go back. Is, what do you think of building these long courses?
You know, I was out there on a practice day on Monday, and my first impression was, you know, and I could be wrong about this, but it looks to me like they're trying to make it some sort of a Bandon Dunes destination type course. You know, it reminded me a little bit of Bandon, and it's right on the water. It's just spectacular. So, you know, as far as local ongoing play, I can't speak to that, but I would think, especially after this, I would hope that people would want to come here and play this course. It's definitely a challenge. I was looking at it from my own viewpoint thinking, well, you know, this would be tough. So.
You want a caddy and they're there, you know, that's the only way really to do it. And they've got the knowledge and they'll take your bag. And then it's a really, really pleasant experience. That was the best part about it for me, is having somebody who knew it, and I was walking with them, and they were handling everything, and I could just stand and go, wow, look at the sound. Wow. Look at
I know. And that's my, I put that on Facebook, that I feel like the Pacific Northwest is putting on her show, you know, with this beautiful weather, and the scenery certainly can't be beat. I did feel sorry for the cameramen as they're running and trying to be in front of the players, and I just thought you would have to really be in tremendous shape to be a cameraman here.
Yes, and that's one of the things. I have to be in tremendous shape to be one of the players there, and constantly hydrating, drinking water. Marvel Bernard is LPGA, PGA golf professional, and that is, you're a PGA, like in the, you're a Professional Golfer Association member.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And a candidate for the LPGA TNCP National President. Tell us about that.
Well, that the election will be in October, and the national president serves 3-year terms, and so our current president, Dana Rader, is her term is coming up here at the end of this year. She's done a fantastic job and has really set the bar high for whoever follows her. And we have 3 candidates, myself included, and each of us have a vice president that we're running with, and my vice presidential candidate is also a section president, Malia Falke. She's in California and just has been in the industry a long time and very, very accomplished. And we're hoping that that our members will vote for us. We feel like we can bring a lot to the table.
What is your platform, so to speak? What do you want to do?
Well, first of all, to really elevate the stature of the LPGA teaching and club professionals, we are very well trained. We go through an extensive training process in how to teach, and to me, we're always in the industry. We're thought of in the industry, but sometimes I feel like you know, we're not the first ones to be thought of. And I really want to get the word out at how well trained our members are. You know, who we're coaching. We've got Lynn and Pia, who are just fantastic teachers. And
Vision 54. Vision 54, yes.
Exactly. And I just want, I want all of our members to be promoted within the industry, in their community, and in the industry as a whole. So that's my overview. That it's all about our members.
Excellent. And it's so important. It's kind of like, you know, they go after women golfers, but we're not really important. we're a big base that they want to tap into, but we're not really important. Do you follow me?
Yes, and you know, the LPGA, the USGA Girls Golf Organization, we started with like 5,000 girls, and now we're over 50,000. So,
wow.
We have really struck a chord with the young women, and I think all of our teachers are making a huge difference in the industry.
Well, I think you're wonderful, and I love your Twitter name. Can you spell that for us?
Yes, it's Marvelous Marvel, and it's MARVOLOUS, MARVOL.
You can
and
follow.
Marvel is my parents' names, Marvin and Carol combined.
Oh,
we came up with that.
That is so sweet. That is wonderful. Marvelous Marvel Bernard, thanks so much for being on the show. A real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Danielle.
Okay. We'll talk again soon. Aloha. We'll be back. We're going to talk with Bob Bupka. And Bob is talking with millions of people in the UK right about now. And he'll be on with us in a couple of minutes. But first, let's take a break and take care of the people who take care of us. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, grip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Yeah, Fujikura. Fujikura is one of the top makers of golf club shafts. And Fujikura and the Folds of Honor partnered for Patriot Edition shafts. It's the Pro Series and the Fuel Tour Spec branded shafts. And they're going to give all of the proceeds to the Folds of Honor, and that's really cool. And TaylorMade has now a partnership with Microsoft. Using the Microsoft Band and a series of applications, the two companies are going to provide golfers with shot-making and analysis capabilities. First, they have to teach us all the shot-making. I thought, when I was listening to Gary Player talk about the building of golf courses and how he's rather upset that this particular golf course, Chambers Bay, is simply too hard for golfers to play, regular golfers, after the U.S. Open leaves. Amateurs, recreational golfers would walk away disappointed with themselves and devastated that they weren't able to, you know, actually score their handicap. being normally an 85 and making a 110, you're like, God, what happened to me? It was a very valid point, but the golf course isn't really designed for regular people because the price tag, it's over $200 a round. And then you pay the caddy $60 and then you tip the caddy. So this golf course isn't really designed for the quote-unquote recreational player. It is a destination golf course. It's a place where you go, I'm going to go to the Pacific Northwest, Tacoma, Seattle, and I'm going to drive down the Sound, and I'm going to go play at Chambers Bay because I want to, and I want to spend the money to do it. And we want to talk with Bob Bupka. He's been on the radio in the UK talking with millions of people. We're talking about Patrick Reed and Brandon Grace and Dustin Johnson and Jos Luton and Tony Finau and Daniel Summerhays and Ben Martin and all these guys at the top of the leaderboard doing amazing things with Jordan Spieth right up there tied for first with Patrick Reed. They have not teed off yet, so we're not giving anything away. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Danielle, how are you, my friend?
Excellent. And there you are in the Pacific Northwest, enjoying the heck out of Chambers Bay, I imagine. And what do you think of this U.S. Open?
Well, before we get to that, it certainly has been an unusual experience, to put it mildly, for me so far. Not necessarily in the order of importance, but let me explain why it's been a little bit different. First and foremost, on our commute to and from the golf course, we have to drive right by a marijuana shop. It's legal. It's legal here in the state of Washington. And then when I turned on the TV this morning, I was invited by the TV presenter, not just me, but everybody that was watching the channel, to go to Seattle later on today. They're having a bicycle ride throughout the streets of Seattle, which I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. And then I found out the stipulation, you have to ride nude. So I don't know if there's any connection between the marijuana shop and riding nude in the streets of Seattle, or, you know. And then,
yes.
And then to make matters worse, my head is spinning, and I'm doing a report into Talk Sport, based out of London, as you alluded to. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the guy says, hold on, Bob. We got to get this jockey on. They have the Ascot over there.
It's the biggest horse race in the
country of England, and they had the winning jockey. So I was knocked off the air by a jockey when I'm worried about riding the streets of Seattle nude, getting my marijuana from the marijuana shop. Now we get to talk about the golf course.
My. I had no, you know, one hears about it being legal to buy marijuana and to smoke pot and get stoned. That's the bottom line. But one doesn't think about driving by stores. You know, I don't think about, hey, there's a, you know, what is, why are they writing about Seattle in the nude? What are the, is it some kind of publicity thing?
Just something the city of Seattle is putting on. As a matter of fact, they have, interestingly enough, the city of Seattle has bicycles that you can use their city bicycles. But they did make the stipulation, if you borrow one of our bikes for this ride, please put a plastic bag on the seat.
Well, I would say so. Thank you. Let's get to the U.S. Open, where Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Brandon Grace, Dustin Johnson, Jost Luton, Tony Finau, who spent many years on Oahu, on the North Shore, playing at Turtle Bay, living in Laie, and Daniel Summerhays and Ben Martin are just a few of the contenders in this 2015 U.S. Open. What are your impressions right now? Let us know what you think about the golf course, what you think about the field. Who's winning, the field or the course?
Well, great question as usual, Danielle. I would say the golf course is winning, but I don't know if it's winning in a method that I would subscribe to. It's a little too quirky for me, but for a U.S. Open, you know, the greens are kicking the balls around like it's a pinball machine. The thing that bothers me the most, quite honestly, is how difficult it is for the spectators to try and get around. There are some holes they don't even allow spectators to utilize or to view. So if somebody starts out wanting to watch their favorite player or their favorite group, they can't do that for the entire 18 holes because some holes are restricted to spectators. And it's extremely hilly. It's slippery. And you really have to be careful out there. Other than that, there's massive acres for the corporate hospitality tent, which I realize that has gotten to be very important for hosting a U.S. Open. I would say right now that we're not going to see another U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, and I could be, way off the mark on that assessment. But right now, I'm saying this is a one and done.
I tend to agree with you, but I wish they would just change the green complexes. If they just change the grass on the greens, make the grass on the greens more receptive so that, you know, when you finally get there, at least they'll hold the line. That seems to be the most difficult part of this golf course.
Danielle, you just inspired me beyond belief because now I'm serious. Because now I can say it's the first time ever that on the way to the U.S. Open, I pass more grass than I see on the green.
Oh, that's why I like talking with you, Bob. Your mind is facile.
But I owe that one to you. I owe that one to you, Danielle. You inspired me as usual. We've only been friends for close to 15 years now. So it's always fun to be on with you. And I try and bring the lighter side. You got such great listeners that love this sport of golf. And they'll get their fill watching it on television later on. But my reports to you, I try and have a little fun where people will hear stuff they're not going to hear anywhere else, because out of this massive media center, I am by far the biggest nut in here, so they're not going to hear it from anybody else.
No, that's why we love you, Bob, because you give us the other side. You give us insights. I'll never forget where you stayed in the container hotel.
The snooze box.
The snooze box.
Give it its right name.
Sorry about that. Snooze box. Yeah, snooze box. We're talking about you again. Snooze box.
Where the snooze box hotel, where I was able to wash my face, brush my teeth, comb my hair, all while I was sitting on my bed.
Exactly.
There was no room to get out of the bed to do anything else.
Okay. Did you see Gary Player this morning?
I saw Gary Player the other day.
Okay.
And he's an amazing man. He's got a new book out. At first, I couldn't figure out what he was doing at this U.S. Open. He seemed to be making a huge effort to come all the way here. But he does have a new book out that he was promoting. So I wish him well with that. And, of course, Jack and Barbara Nicklaus were here earlier in the week. Barbara Nicklaus won the Bobby Jones Award this year, certainly going to a very deserving individual. There's no finer lady probably in the history of the game. I think it's Barbara Nicklaus first, Danielle Tucker a close second.
You're so sweet. All right. Do you need to go? Because I wanted to ask you a few more questions.
Now, the men's room's not that far away. I'm all right.
All right. The thing about Gary today, when he was talking, I felt like when you said Jack Nicklaus, by the way, it's the 50th anniversary of Gary Player completing his career Grand Slam by winning the U.S. Open, right? 50 years ago? 50? Has it been that long? I mean, Gary Player doesn't look like he could be that old to have.
Yeah, well, he's 80 years old.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable shape. And he won that in St. Louis at Belle Reve. And you're right, the year was 1965. And quite frankly, getting back to the golf for a minute, Danielle, Jordan Spieth is the only player eligible to win the Grand Slam this year. He's got obviously a long way to go, but the mere fact that he tied for the lead after 36 holes at the U.S. Open after winning the Masters, to me, is quite remarkable.
It is. It's fabulous. We've got a fabulous leaderboard going into this weekend, and Tony Finau is there. Gary Player has joined Jack Nicklaus in asking that the ball be changed. And I think it's interesting that he's now saying it needs to be pulled back. Has he had that stance with Gary and Jack all this time, or is this just something that Gary's now talking about?
I think Gary's been in favor of just having something done. I think now that he's joining ranks with Jack Nicklaus, I mean, come on, if you got two players the stature of a Jack Nicklaus and a Gary Player asking for a change to the fundamental aspect of the game, and instead of making these golf courses obsolete, roll back that ball a little bit. I mean, this golf course can play up to 7,900 yards.
That's crazy.
I mean, that is just way too. That's 1,000 yards longer than a golf course should even think of being. They didn't play it at 79. They played it at about 7,700 yards yesterday. We'll wait and find out exactly what they do today. They wait for the weather before they make a decision on, you know, how hard the wind is going to blow. You know, I'd like to come to a U.S. Open, and I like to see the best player win. You know, and when I look at that leaderboard, you know, we certainly have some quality names up there. So, you know, maybe the golf course is doing its job. And hey, don't be surprised if Tony Finau doesn't win this. I mean, he's playing with a lot of confidence. I like his demeanor. He doesn't seem to get too excited. When he hits a good shot, doesn't get too depressed when he hits a poor shot. And that's the kind of personality you need to bring to the first tee of a U.S. Open if you're hoping to get the job done.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing up Tony, because it's really awesome. I mean, he's tied for fifth, you know? He's at the top of the leaderboard in a U.S. Open. Finally, Tiger Woods misses the cut. Second time in his career at a major.
Yeah, but just think of what he did. I mean, on Thursday night, when Cole Hammer, the 15-year-old amateur who had his dad caddying for him, got home to the place they're staying, and his dad says, "Son, what did you shoot today?" And Cole Hammer said, "Dad, I shot 77. And then his dad says, "What did Tiger Woods shoot, Cole?" And his son says, "Dad, he shot 80. Oh, man. What a Father's Day present. He got it early. That was last Thursday.
All right, so everybody wants to know, what do you think, Bob Bubka? Is he done, or can he come back?
Well, the old saying is, if it's done, you better put a fork in it. I don't know if I'm ready to put a fork in Tiger just yet, but he's teetering on being well done.
He certainly is teetering. It's, but I wish he wasn't in the middle of all of the cameras. I wish he were able to do all of this and just work it on his own, like everybody else can, and then his work his way back.
He doesn't have that luxury. But, of course, they pay him $200 million to be in front of those cameras. So, you know, it all depends the way you want to look at it. Maybe he should follow the advice of the local paper that had the advertisement, I just thought of it, for the marijuana shop. It said, "Stop here first, play better golf."
Bob Bubka, you are awesome. Co-host of the Grill Room Golf Show, and you can find him Tune In Radio. That's the Grill Room Golf Show, Tune In Radio, anytime. And it's the link is on golfweek.com, and I think we can find it like on SoundCloud too. SoundCloud, you've got it on SoundCloud, on TuneIn, and you can find the link at golfweek.com. Do you have the direct link?
You can go to grillroom.com and also pick it up. But the best place I am is right here on the Danielle Tucker Golf Show, the Golf Club, and I've enjoyed it for years, and thanks for having me on from the U.S. Open.
From the U.S. Open.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's Bob Bubka, thegrillroom.com. Go there, and you can listen to the show. He's got this guy on with him. I don't know, you know. Alex Maselli. They never agree.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him, and they don't agree on anything.
I think John Huggins is going to be coming on. Now you're going to get some real good golf information. Matter of fact, he's standing about 2 feet away from me. I'm in a fishbowl. He's staring at me laughing because I'm in a radio booth. But why don't you get a proper gentleman that covers this game and find out you know, the real skinny here. John is the man that'll do it.
Well, I wanted John to get the Euro view. We want the Euro view on what is called a link-style course that we're playing at Chambers Bay.
Yeah, ask John what Henrik Stenson thinks of the course. He'll give you some.
Broccoli. Or is it cauliflower? Yeah, thank you, right. Bob.
Broccoli. Thank you, Danielle. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be back right after this as he goes off to be back on Talk Sport in the UK. We'll be back with John Huggan. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. It's Father's Day weekend. We have a round of golf for two at Poipu Bay, and we want to give it away, that gift, to the ninth caller who calls in at 296-5467. The number is 808, if you're on a neighbor island, 808-296-5467, and you will win two rounds of golf at Chambers Bay. We're about to start the Great Bridgestone Golf Giveaway one more time. It's wonderful. We're going to have some fabulous golf balls, but today, for Father's Day, dial 808-296-5467 and win two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. And I know, Lisa, your balls, if they haven't, or rather your Poipu Bay golf course gift certificates, if they didn't arrive yesterday, they should be in the mailbox today. Let's get right over to the, back to the USGA, the USGA's U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. We have John Huggan, the writer of all things golf. You've seen him in Golf World, GolfDigest.com, TheScotsman.com. He's a correspondent for Scotland on Sunday, editor-at-large for Golf Australia, columnist for New Zealand Golf Magazine, Golf International, and GolfObserver.com, and contributes to The Guardian, Golf World UK. He's co-written or written eight books, and he's from the UK. And I wanted so much to talk to John Huggan about what he thought of this Lynx style. I love how they say that. The Lynx style. Style is very important here. Golf course where they're playing the U.S. Open. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks very much for having me.
What do you think?
About the golf course, it's, well, the line I came up with early in the week was, and this is meant in the best possible way, is that this is what, kind of what Lynx golf would be like if the Americans had been in charge 150 years ago instead of the Scots. It would have been bigger and bolder and brassier and, you know, a bit more changes in elevation and all the rest of it. All the things that we see here this week that we don't really have on our Lynx. For one thing, I mean, the biggest thing about this place that's different from Scotland is the fact that it's, as I say, the changes of elevation. You can't really be on a proper Lynx if you're 250 feet above sea level. It just doesn't work.
Okay, let's explain to people what a true, not a Lynx style, but what a true Lynx course is.
Well, Lynx land is basically the land that was useless for anything else other than playing golf, but that lies between the towns in Scotland and the sea. It's just that, you know, the dunes and the dunes land and all the rest of it. It's just that there was no use for anything else, so they started to build golf courses on it.
And there you go. But in a way, this quarry was no use to anything anymore. So but a Lynx course, you don't move earth around. You don't create a golf course.
That's right. Yeah.
The golf course.
I mean, we're being a little bit pedantic, but it's Lynx style is fair enough. I mean, it's it plays in many ways like a links. I mean, the ball is on the ground a lot, and, you know, as everybody knows, the golf is far more interesting the longer it gets more interesting, as long the longer the ball's on the ground. I mean, watching players smash the ball up in the air and have it stop quickly on, when it lands is kind of tedious after a while. I mean, that sounds a lot like a lot of the golf we see at professional level all over the world now, not just in America, but in Asia and in Europe now even as well. The style of play is changing, sadly. And we actually need a bit more of this. I'd be all for it maybe two or three times a year.
More links-style golf. We've got that at Bandon Dunes. Is that what we're thinking here, maybe?
Yes. I mean, from everything I hear about Bandon Dunes, I've never been, but it certainly looks linksy. And then everybody who's been there tells me that it plays like a links. I mean, you're hitting bump and runs and little punch shots and all the rest of it, which is, you know, to me, is proper golf. I mean, it's multi-dimensional. It's not just played through the air.
Yes, and then have it land, you know, target golf. Who needs?
Yeah.
Everybody can, at that level that these guys are playing, and they can dial in their number, hit the shot, and bam, it's going to land if it doesn't have anything else to do but land and hold. The ground holds it. It's not a challenge, really, for them.
Well, no, it's too easy, really. I mean, and too much the same. I mean, I, you know, goodness knows I bang on about this constantly. But my biggest criticism of the PGA Tour and increasingly the European Tour golf is that, you know, while it's very difficult every week, it's the same difficult every week. And, you know, the fairways are the same width, the roughs the same height, the greens are the same speed, the sand in the bunker is all the same depth. I mean, they become very, very good at this narrow form of golf. And when you take them outside that environment, like this week, you start to get some moaning and groaning and squealing and, you know, all the rest of it. Although, to be fair, this week, a lot of the squealing is about conditioning of the course more than the setup of it. So.
Yeah, and the setup comes into play on a couple of holes on the course. I think it's 18 and 7, where you can play it as a 5 or a 4, and that seems to be bothering them.
Well, certainly they make a good point about the 18th hole. It's much better as a par 5 than a par 4. I mean, the bunker, the way the land runs, I mean, the balls are going into the bunker off the tee when it's a par 4 you know, I hate to use the word fair because golf is never meant to be fair, but it's a wee bit extreme, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be played as a 5.
Yes, I would say so. It's a much better hole as a par 5.
Yeah.
Albeit par is just an arbitrary number on a scorecard.
But Mike Davis, the USGA executive director and the fellow who sets up all the golf courses, the wizard, he wants it always to be a 70. It's got to be a par 70 no matter what. But he's got all of these options to play with because of the way Robert Trent Jones and his team, Junior, set up this whole golf course so that it could be, you can put the tees in different places. I think it's on number 9. You can play it uphill or downhill.
So he's
really adamant in not playing those two holes as 18 and 1 as fives, even though it seems like the players would prefer it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you listen to the players, they would argue that that kind of thing is that, you know, at the end of the day, they're the stars of the show. They're supposed to be the story. And it does seem like Mike Davis is, you know, moving himself into center stage just a little bit maybe too often for the players' liking.
Oh, that's interesting, a little battle of egos. But it's the course they're supposed to be going up against, right? I mean, you play the course.
Yeah.
You don't play each other necessarily. It's who's played the best. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can go round and round on this. But, I mean, as you well know, there's an inherent conflict between the professional golfers and the amateur body that is the USGA. There's never really been much love lost between those two. So they're kind of looking for a fight as soon as they arrive, the players.
And speaking of looking for a fight, I was fascinated watching Gary Player this morning on television. Did you catch that?
I heard about it. I didn't. Unfortunately, I was actually appearing on other radio shows.
Oh, you were on another radio show. You're in.
I was. Yeah.
Yes, much in demand.
Apparently, yes.
Yes.
I've heard the gist of what he had to say, and as usual with Gary, you know, there's two things. There's a lot of truth in what he said, but there's also an agenda in what he says. This is going to sound really harsh, but I have yet to see or play a Gary Player course that I would want to, you know, see or play more than once. So his own architecture doesn't stand up to too much scrutiny, I would argue. But there was some truth in what he said. It's this is not your traditional U.S. Open by any means, and you know maybe you know I wouldn't like to see them go back to the narrow fairways, thick rough scenario that we saw for years and years. But and this is just an extreme example. I mean, maybe the, you know maybe Mike Davis and the USGA have just got a little bit too excited by it all, and they've taken it too far. I mean, you could certainly argue that.
Yeah, it was just, you know, when he goes, this is the most unpleasant golf tournament I've experienced in my lifetime.
Well, you know, Gary's never been short of hyperbole in his time, so, you know, you have to take that with a little bit of a pinch of salt, I would say.
Okay, and then then I saw where he was going. He was going, really, his agenda, and I didn't know how this was going to benefit him. It was more about the game, that this golf course is too long. This golf course can't be played by regular people. And it'll be too disappointing for the average Joe to go out there and play. And why are we allowing the golf ball to dictate the golf course lengths, et cetera, et cetera?
You know? Well, that's where the truth lies in what he said. I mean, sadly, the way things have gone, certainly the top level of the game, you can trace everything if you want to find it as bad. You can trace it all the way back to how far the golf ball goes. And he's right about this course. I mean, the you and I and the rest of the, you know, average populace, if you like, excuse me, we can play this golf course properly. You know, it's just far too difficult.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure that it would be a whole lot of fun for too many people. And you'd go and play it once to say that you've done it, and then you'd probably never go back.
Exactly. For $200+ and a $60 caddy with a tip, you're laying out over $300 to play it. That's not something you can do on a regular. I can't.
No. Well, no. And if you are going to do it, you want to have some fun while you're about it. And I'm not sure, as I say, that it would be too much fun to be had out there. It would beat you up too much.
It is, you know, in addition to having the luxury of actually striking the ball well that one time and having it go to where you'd like it to go because it bounces.
Well, there's been plenty of that this week. I mean, that's been the fun aspect of it, I think, is that the imagination and flair and touch and all the rest of it has been brought back into the game. As I said earlier, this is supposed to be a multi-dimensional sport, not just a one-dimensional test of execution time after time after time. I mean, we know that these guys can do that because they do it every other week.
Right.
I'd just like to see them tested in other areas. And the USG are certainly doing that this week.
No, and I totally agree with you. And that's what this course is good for. It's for testing people who are very skilled at what they do. But for us regular people, I'm saying that we, the tired masses trying to hit the ball nicely, and once we do, we'd be so like devastated that it didn't actually land and stay. Because that's what I mean by that. And so when he was hypercritical of the golf course, I was like, well, you know, I get it, but this isn't the best course to just attack on that basis. I see where he's going. Interesting. So the players, they're always having a. Let's look at Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed and ask ourselves, why is this a U.S.-dominated field? I don't see the Europeans playing as well as they usually do in some of these major championships.
Well, Europeans have won four of the last five U.S. Opens.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's far from impossible that we could see a European victory or an international victory this week. I mean, there's only 10 shots covering the whole field. 75 guys, I think it is now. So basically, anybody could still win, especially if I haven't had a look at the golf course yet today. If they've set the course up to not eliminate the 65 or 66, you know, a guy on 5-over par could still win this week. I mean, the trouble is that traditionally the USGA amp up the golf course over the weekend, and the low score of the day gets higher. I mean, 68 might be a great score today. I don't know yet, but.
Yeah.
If they haven't eliminated the 64 or 65, you know, anybody could win.
Yeah, and seeing Paul Casey there, that's fantastic. And Ernie Els, everybody, Ernie Els is in this. He's tied for 28th.
Yeah. You know? He could still win. He's by no means out of it. I mean, and it helps only that the greens are a bit dodgy because he's not the greatest putter anymore. I think he wouldn't deny that. And it brings the really good putters back to him a little bit when the greens are bad. If everybody starts to miss putts, you know, he's right in the ballgame.
It's wonderful. Now, how about Adam Scott? and his putting right now. Let's think about Adam having to give up the long putter pretty soon.
Well, I'm not sure it's going to make that much difference with Adam, because you know, I don't see him being a great putter with anything so far in his career. I mean, he's had, you know, little runs, obviously, in one event, big event. And he's a terrific player. There's very few people in the world that are better tee to green than Adam Scott. But he's just, bottom line is, he's not a great putter. He's not a great putter with a short putter, and he's not a great putter with a long putter. So I'm not sure it'll make that much difference to Adam, ironically, when the ban comes in at the end of the year.
I think you should tell him that. You know,
I've done it in print.
Okay. All right. Then the other one is, what's up with the number one player in the world, Rory McIlroy?
Well, yeah, we've talked before about Rory. I mean, Rory's streaky. He's far more like Phil Mickelson than he's ever going to be like Tiger Woods. I think we got a little bit spoiled, if you like, with Tiger, because Tiger's level of performance was so astonishingly high. I mean, you know, Tiger, I think, is probably the best player we've ever seen. But his level of performance was astonishing as well. I mean, a bad week for Tiger was, you know, fifth or something, fourth,
yes,
in the tournament. Rory's not like that. I mean, Rory's he's more like Phil temperamentally and more like Phil Mickelson in terms of his style of play. He's there's less margin for error in the way that Rory plays golf, just as the way that Phil plays. And when you play like that, there are going to be times when things are not going to go your way. Maybe the only mild criticism I would have of Rory's style of play is that he does have one style, and there doesn't seem to be a plan B in operation on days when things are not quite going his way.
When the driver is not the key in his bag.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think he does need to develop some way of getting round in 70 or 71 rather than 74 on days like that. I think he's still very young. I think we forget that he's only about 25, and there's still plenty of time for him to learn that skill. But he's certainly lacking in that area slightly. But, I mean, we're nitpicking here. We're talking about the best golfer in the world. He's clearly the best golfer.
Well, what else do we do, John? We nitpick.
Yeah, well, exactly. I get paid to nitpick, so let's do it anyway.
Then the other two, you know, we hear about Patrick Reed's temper all the time. You know, everybody talks about Patrick Reed being temperamental, but I've been hearing just a little bit, because you know the shine on Jordan Spieth is pretty bright, and nobody wants to take that away. But I hear that he also has a temperamental side.
Yeah, well, they all do. I mean, some of them just hide it better than others. I mean, Jordan is, you know, remarkably mature, as everybody knows, for somebody at 21 years old. But, you know, he's had his moments. I mean, there was the episode when he lost to Ernie Els in the match play a couple of years ago, and at the Ryder Cup. I mean, not that he lost his temper at the Ryder Cup last year, but he was well up on Graham McDowell in the singles in the last day and eventually lost. I mean, he did collapse, basically. I mean, it wouldn't be unfair to say that. So he's had his moments. I mean, he's young. He'll learn. But the thing about Jordan, it seems to me, is that he doesn't seem to make the same mistake twice. And that's the key. Everybody makes mistakes, but when you start to do them over and over, that's when it becomes a problem.
Insanity, that's how it's defined.
Indeed, yes.
So we have Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed, a match play, if you will, going up against each other.
Well, you say that, it's early days, yeah. I mean, they're five under par, and there's a pile of guys right behind them. I mean, there's 16 guys still under par, so there's 14 people within four shots of them. And we're only halfway through the tournament. I mean, I would argue if it just starts off tomorrow and they've created a two or three shot gap between themselves and the rest, yes, I would say this is looking like a head-to-head battle. But it's way premature, I think, to argue that it's coming down to those two guys just yet.
I like that. And do you have a favorite in the field? Are you allowed to say?
Well, I came here rooting for the best story, like every journalist, and that was Phil Mickelson. And Phil, he's not completely out of it yet, but it's not looking as if he's going to win. And the second best story is Jordan Spieth, because if he wins here, he goes to St Andrews next month with half of the Grand Slam in his pocket. So that would be a great story.
That would be a great story. And for us in Hawaii, Tony Finau winning would be a great story.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm not that. You'd be far more familiar with him than I would be. But yeah, he looks like a terrific player.
Yeah, he lived on the north shore of Oahu and played at Turtle Bay for years. So we're rooting for Tony. And I appreciate your time, sir. You're always fun to talk with. Thank you. This is John Huggin. John Huggin, who are you writing for this week? Where are we going to find you?
Oh, well, you you made me sound very busy earlier on, but I'm writing for about five of the people that you mentioned earlier on. So let's leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay, we'll find you. We'll
okay.
Yes. Great talking with you. Aloha, John.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI FM Lanai City, KTOH FM Kalaheo. And thank you so much for listening. We're going to have a fascinating person on next. And I'm really excited to talk with Scott Dolly of ScottDolly.com. He is an expert team member of Golf Channel's Altered Course. It's a new show on Golf Channel called Altered Course. It's very interesting. And he is our next guest, and we need to give him a call because he's not standing by yet. We have the winner of our giveaway, and I believe I have that. Well, let's hold on to that for that thought while we take a break and thank the people who make this show possible.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
I've never had an eagle.
Heck, I've never had a birdie.
I would not recognize Jesper Parnevik.
I've never played a round of golf.
But I support the first tee.
It's teaching my daughter important values.
It gets them off the couch.
He's more patient, focused.
Self-confident.
He's just a happier kid.
At the First Tee, we teach kids important values they can take with them from the golf course to their communities and to the rest of their lives.
I didn't know a little golf ball could make such a big difference.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Hey, congratulations, Leo Murakami from Kahului on Maui. You have won two rounds to play at Poipu Bay Golf Course on beautiful Kauai, where they've got the super sale going on in the pro shop. 30% off all menswear in the pro shop. This is for Father's Day. Remember, Father's Day is tomorrow? Oh, you forgot? If you're on Kauai, it's a perfect opportunity for you to go unforget. Get a golf gift card for Poipu Bay if you don't know what size to get for Dad. There are shoes in the golf course pro shop at Poipu Bay. Men's and women's, like Nike and FootJoy, 30% off. There's a table with men's and women's, and I say that because women always like to find a little something-something for themselves when they're shopping. So there's a 40% off table. And there's also a sale rack that's already marked down. Plus, you get another 25% off. You never know what you can find in those sale racks. All right. Just want to remind you, too, that today is demo day at Makalei on the Big Island. Father's Day demo day. Demo day gives you best pricing. They may have to ship it to you, and he could get a nice card that says, hey, this is on the way. Or surprising you with this, Dad, this is the Makalei Demo Day, and it starts at 10 o'clock, Makalei. One of the toughest golf courses. It's an inland course on the Big Island, and I recommend, I hear that people that I've sent there have had a really good time, and they, even though it's hard. Somebody who knows about difficult things is Scott Dolly. Scott Dolly is scottdolly.com. He's the expert team member of Golf Channel's Altered Course, entrepreneur to watch in 2015, Lynx Run founder, pace of play activist, and speed golf ambassador. Welcome to the show, Scott Dolly.
Danielle, mahalo. How are you?
Absolutely fabulous. I'm looking at the teams, the Georgia Boys, the Camel Greens, the Twins, the Icelandic Duo, the Frenemies, Texas Hustlers, Serbian Sisters, and Canadian Ninjas.
I know. The Golf Channel knows how to put together some good teams, don't they?
Yes, this is Golf Channel's Altered Course. It's a new show, and one of the ways they set the seeds was having these competitions where I saw one where they'd pitch the shot, but it had to be just past the white line. Like, think of a football line on a turf, right? And so you have to hit it right as close to the reason you have to get it just past the white line, but as close to the line as possible, is because you got to run. You got to run and get that ball, and you got to run back to the fit, and then you. I mean, so this is Altered Course. It's like a combination of city golf. Where you and racing, and it's huge. It's fun. Tell us how this came about.
Yeah, it really is fun. It's really combining two seemingly kind of disparate sports or activities, which is fitness and golf nowadays, and bringing them together in a way that is surprising and really exciting. And I'm so happy that the Golf Channel decided to put together a show like this, because I think it's really showing people that these two things can make sense together. And in fact, it can really prove to be extremely exciting for those who actually watched episode one on Monday night. So yeah, they essentially are creating these altered courses, which are holes in excess of 700 yards. A lot of times they're taking place over two, three, or even four different holes on the golf course. And they do have these little check-in zones, so you've got to hit your drive and make sure it lands in a check-in zone before you take a 90-degree left turn and have to hit it over some trees, and then you've got to play down to another green and putt out. And what they do is they add the element of time into the performance equation. And so in the case of Altered Course, they give you a time limit. You have 5.5 minutes to complete this altered course. And if you don't, then for every 30 seconds that you're over that time, they just add one stroke to your score. And so it really takes the pressure and it ratchets it up, gets these competitors' heart rates going, and it's just exciting to watch, and it really was exciting to be a part of.
I bet. Now, this is boys against girls.
It sure is, yeah. You know, the way that they handled that was they took the USGA and RA's suggested, I believe it's 80% distance. It's somewhere close to that. I can't remember exactly. So the ladies got to tee off at 80% of the distance of the men, and so obviously they weren't having to run as far. But I hope everybody watches. It's, you're going to see that the ladies can compete, just as hardcore as the men can.
Yeah, and it is. It's fun because it adds the element of, I don't know, movement to the game, which can be kind of tedious to watch at times. You know, it's like, God, and then you don't. When you do watch golf, you don't watch, okay, this hit here, and then you wait, and then you watch, bang, bang. To make it exciting, they move you around the course. Well, then, while that was happening, this is, and while that was happening. Here, you're watching it going on as it's happening. How did the camera crews keep up with these guys?
You know, that was part of really one of the crowning achievements of this show, and I think really is kind of setting the pace in sports television history. They had, I think, almost 50 cameras on every single shot. And so they had everything from your typical, you know, on the shoulder cameras to drones that they had up in the air following the action. They had little Sony action cameras all over the place. So everywhere you could possibly run, there was a Sony action camera. And they had cameras up on cranes. And so they really had never shot anything like this before. So that's really where Gretchen Johnson and myself had a chance to come in and run the challenges prior to the cast members running it, so that the camera operators could get an idea of what this was going to be like. And it really was quite a sight to watch not only the players running, but then you've got, you know, the cameras that are following them and the audio people behind them following them. And so whenever you've got a player moving, you've got a camera moving and six people behind them moving, and they're all trying to sprint down the fairway together. And it was quite a sight to see. Really incredible.
I think they should film that. You know,
well, I tell you what, if you go online, actually, onto the Altered Course website on the Golf Channel, they actually probably at some point, they actually did put together about a 4 or 5 minute video clip of how, just how challenging and how rewarding it was to film a show like this.
Wow, we're talking with Scott Dolly. You can find him at scottdolly.com, expert team member of Golf Channel's Altered Course. It's on Mondays. You are also a speed golf ambassador, pace of play activist, a Lynx Run founder. Where do you want to start? I'd like to know a little bit about you, because you're going to be back on the show with Gretchen Johnson. The two of them kind of, from what I understand, you just said it, you guys did the course as it was set up to see how it would be run. Is that right?
Yeah. Part of what we came in to do was to help the producers and to help the camera operators get an idea of what just exactly it would entail in terms of being able to follow the action to get the best shots for the viewers. And so we were able to come in and do that. And then not only that, but in filming us, they were able to put together some of the shots of the viewers before the challenges each episode are shown by the cast members running them. They'll be able to cut in Gretchen and I running them as they're explaining the challenge. So it really gives the viewers an opportunity to see, here's how you're quote-unquote supposed to play the hole.
And then
they show you the action and see how the cast members do with it.
Yes. And now in one of the Golf Channel's shows, there was a lot of sitting and waiting around for shots. With this show, it seems like there's a lot more activity and more demands on the people who are performing.
Yes, absolutely. That other show would be Big Break, and you know they had 24 seasons of Big Break, which was just a major franchise. And so I think they're aiming to do that with Altered Course now, and attracting kind of a new audience, people who are more fitness oriented, even people who aren't, but just get excited by that kind of action. So yeah, there's a lot of movement. When there are, like for instance, you mentioned the line you had to cross, and then the other teammate has to run. And anytime there's a tie on an episode, then they go to a more fitness-oriented or speed-oriented challenge. Golf is still, a part of it,
right?
But they're going to make the fitness aspect be the thing in that in the little playoff that separates the winners from the losers there. So next week is actually the first elimination episode, so that's going to be really exciting to watch to see how speed golf comes into play there. As a speed golf ambassador, Danielle. Really, I got involved in speed golf about 2.5 years ago. I was just kind of come out of my third attempt to play on the PGA Tour, and it hadn't worked out. And I had gotten really into running and found out about speed golf, and I started playing professionally and started quickly. Actually, within about 6 months, I found myself at the World Championship, which is held every year at Bandon Dunes Golf Resort, which is kind of one of the premier resorts in the world. And I found myself like a top five professional speed golfer in the world, and I really saw with the decline in participation in golf and the major problem being pace of play, I saw speed golf as a really great business opportunity as well, in terms of growing a grassroots movement and getting more people excited about playing fast. So it's not only exciting to watch, but it's really exciting to challenge yourself, no matter how fast it is, whether it's a fast walk or a sprint, to get out there and play golf as fast as you can. People will be amazed. They always think they're going to shoot 100 or 200, but you get out there and you play speed golf and you realize, wow, I really didn't play any worse. Maybe my score was a few strokes higher, but I was exhilarated. I had so much fun, and I feel like a kid again. I feel like, for me, I felt like I was 10 years old and I had just picked up a golf club again.
That's fun. Jacob Bowden has been on the show to talk about speed golf, and I reached out to him when I saw the show because I went, God, that's like Jacob. It's like, you're right. It's like speed golf combined with golf, and it's on television. This is so cool.
Yep, I know Jacob well. We met through speed golf and have been together at the World Championship. He played really well in the inaugural Speed Golf World Championship in 2012. And so he gets it as well. And there's a growing movement around the world, actually. I was fortunate enough to be the executive director of Speed Golf International last year, in 2014, which is kind of the global organization that's helping to organize the sport and advance the sport and govern the sport of speed golf. And so I had the chance to talk to men and women literally all over the world who want to help grow this sport in their nation. So I would look out with this new golf channel series, Altered Course. There's going to be some serious momentum moving forward with faster than average golf, as I like to call it.
Yeah, and if somebody's interested, where do they go to find out more about speed golf?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can head to online. If you go to Facebook and you type in speed golf in the search bar, you're going to find a lot of different speed golf organizations, so you may find one there close to you. In terms of international events, you can go to speedgolfinternational.com, and they have a list of upcoming competitions, including the World Championship, which will be this October. The exact dates have yet to be announced. And if you just go to Google and type in speed golf, one word, then you'll find a lot of websites as well.
Excellent. Where is this October speed golf going to be?
The World Championship will be, I don't know exactly where it's going to be. They haven't announced the dates and locations yet, but they're just about to, coming up, I believe, early next week. But I'm hearing rumors that it's going to be in Chicago this year.
Wow.
So a major international hub, easy to get into, easy to get out of. And we'll have players from New Zealand, Australia, Japan, and all kinds of countries in Western Europe as well.
That's fantastic. That's really, really, really exciting. And I'm looking forward to talking with you and Gretchen Johnson about, now, most of the teams on Altered Course, Golf Channel's Altered Course on Mondays, we're talking with Scott Dolly. He's the expert team member. ScottDolly.com is where you can find out more about him. These teams are boys and girls and boys and girls, but you two were a man and woman team.
Yes, we were a co-ed team, and we were the only co-ed team. And though we're not cast members on the show, we were part of an expert team. And so, I think the Golf Channel just wanted to get an idea of, have kind of a component from each aspect that they were going for.
I see, yes, yes.
And, you know, Gretchen, as you'll find out here when we talk again soon, Gretchen is currently the reigning speed golf ladies world champion.
Wow.
So she's a great golfer in her own right and also an accomplished, avid runner, I think a 10 or 12-time marathoner. She works for Nike Running, and so she's a really fantastic speed golfer. And, of course, I've got a little bit of skill at that as well.
Yes, you do. Scott Dolly, thanks so much for being on the show, the expert team member, Altered Course on Golf Channel Mondays. And in Hawaii, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just DVR it, TiVo it, whatever it is you got, and watch it. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for being on the show.
Danielle, mahalo. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
And talk soon. Aloha. I want to thank all the people who make the show possible. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers all across Hawaii. It doesn't matter whether you're on Oahu, Maui, Kauai, Molokai, Lanai, anywhere you are. Who did I leave out? I'm sorry. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world. So if you're traveling out, you want to keep an eye on your house, make sure the fish are fine. Just monitor them from your laptop or your smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii is your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Creative Plumbing. I can't say it the way he does. We need to just, Raf, we need to get just that Creative Plumbing and then put it in right when I do this close. Raf is always with me. He's wonderful. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, you need to call Creative Plumbing. Yes, because it's got to be done right, right? Creative Plumbing. Yes. Well, you got it. You hear his voice. We'll do that next week. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment for protection for your home, for your business, for a concert you're putting on. Hey, Janet Jackson's coming. A special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the star team on your property. Star Protection, what you need here in Hawaii, and they're also in California. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Congratulations, Leo Murakami from Kahului, Maui, our winner this morning of two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. $50. And again, if you're looking for something to get for Dad, just go over to the Poipu Bay Golf Course. It's a beautiful drive, and they've got great sales, including 30% off all men's apparel through Sunday for Father's Day. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.